Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement. So take a tip from Johnny and... From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kurt Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Billy Sands, Roger DeCoven, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Callan. Ladies and gentlemen.
Flatterer.
This year, California celebrates the 100th anniversary of the discovery of gold. Tonight, in Saluting California, we bring you a man whose comedy is like pure gold.
That's right.
It gets panned every week. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Gow. This is the 100th anniversary of the discovery of gold in California, and I could use a little of that gold tonight. Oh, that Wall Street. I had a very bad day at the market today. I couldn't get a chicken. Well, good night. Everybody dance. Oh, what's happening here in New York, especially with the fuel oil. But New York's fuel oil shortage was solved. The Navy gave its fuel oil to the city. There's only one trouble when you use Navy oil. The radiators keep whistling at girls. And Mr. Gallup, isn't it terrible what's happening to grain prices on the stock market?
Well, you should be flattered. This week, they had a Milton Berle Day at the stock exchange.
A Milton Berle Day?
Yes, that was the day corn reached a new low.
Oh, that was jazzy. Mr. Gallup, you seem so peppy tonight. You must have changed to a lighter embalming fluid. Mr. Gallup, since you insist on tearing me down, I'm forced to mention that last week you didn't know this.
No.
Did you know this?
No.
You didn't know it, did you?
Haven't heard it yet.
What is it?
Haven't heard it yet.
That's not in the script, old boy. Please. I'm forced to mention that last week I spoke at the Baltimore Advertising Club, where I was chosen the outstanding radio personality of 1947. Baltimore should be congratulated.
Baltimore should be psychoanalyzed.
Baltimore should be psychoanalyzed.
You're just jealous, that's all, Mr. Gallup.
Jealous?
Yes.
Oh, why, this week it so happens I, too, received an award for my club.
Your club?
Yes, the Sheepshead Bay Music Lovers Committee to bring Lucy Monroe and Jessica Dragonette together again.
Well, they gave you an award?
Yes, for my quick thinking at the recent Vladimir Horowitz piano recital.
Quick thinking?
Yes. In the middle of a fortissimo, the man who was turning the pages for Mr. Horowitz developed a dry mouth. His finger began slipping.
Gosh, and you?
I rushed on stage with a wet tongue.
A wet tongue. Well, that's quick thinking.
I just happened to have one with me.
Oh, did you? Yes. Well, and for that, they gave you an award?
Yes, the Oscar of the Music World.
The Oscar of the Music World.
Yes, it's a small gold statue of Tchaikovsky bent over carrying Freddie Martin.
You nearly didn't get it out.
Yeah.
It sounds, it sounds like a very dull evening.
Dull? With Dean Taylor there? Oh, not likely.
Oh, no. And Mr. Gallup, Dean Taylor and you, what were you two devils up to this time?
Oh, we got loaded to the eyeballs on straight prune juice.
Straight prune juice.
And then we went carousing.
Carousing?
Uh-huh. Deems and I went into every hat store in New York, and Deems asked for a derby. Yeah. Oh, it was screamingly funny.
Well, funny.
The salesman would ask, what size derby?
Yes.
And Deems would say, it doesn't matter, it's for a trombone.
Nothing. But I'm kidding, Mr. Gallup. I got a good kick out of that story. And if you turn around, I'll give it back to you. But on with the program as we pay tribute tonight to the 100th anniversary of the Gold Rush as we salute California. California, tropical paradise of the Pacific. California used to be known as the Poppy State. Shirley Temple just changed that. Today she's in the Mommy State.
The history of California is divided into two great eras. The first, when John Sutter discovered gold.
The second, when Metro and Mayer discovered Goldwyn.
No other state can claim a more romantic heritage.
California was settled by the Spanish, taken over by the United States, and is today owned by Bing Crosby.
Then gold was found.
In 1848, a settler, John Sutter, discovered gold, and shortly afterwards went into bankruptcy. Gold in California soon petered out, but somehow bankruptcy in California seemed to catch on.
With the disappearance of gold, a scientist named Henry Allen spent years perfecting a metal alloy to take its place.
To this day, it is known as Allen's alloy. but the beauty and the glories of California must be seen. So come with me, dear listener, won't you? Won't you? As we mount our magic carpet for a trip through that wonderland that is California. Ah, yes. Here we are in San Francisco, gateway of the Pacific. San Francisco is known as the city of the bridges. There's the Golden Gate Bridges, the Bay Bridges, and Harry Bridges. And Harry Bridges. Don't know them, do you? Well, come with me, won't you, as we visit the famous San Francisco Chinatown. Chinatown, exotic section of San Francisco that still keeps its own architecture, culture, and language. We stop a native of Chinatown to ask directions. Excuse me, how can I get to Market Street?
Charlie, no speaky mugu gai pan.
Can you tell me where I can get a cable car?
Oh, Charlie, no understand. On young.
Well, where can I place a bet for the fourth at Santa Anita?
3 blocks away, back of Delicatessen, ask for a sourceman.
Thank you, and away goes our magic carpet. Los Angeles, called the City of the Angels. And most of the angels were once pedestrians. Los Angeles, the Colossus of the West, right beneath our magic carpet, is one of America's largest schools, the University of Southern California, found by Franciscan friars in 1847, lost to Michigan in 1947. But we continue on our magic carpet. Below us is a panorama of California beauty. Though still a young state, California boasts of possessing the world's most ancient living things. The petrified forest, the giant redwoods, Al Jolson. But California's greatest wonder is its climate. This is truly the sunshine state, where the sun shines every day of the year. And as we say goodbye to California, the very heavens seem to open and say... Yes, goodbye, Sunshine State. Aloha, farewell. And as the Los Angeles River rises to meet us and the happy waters cascade down the mountains, all I can say is...
Ladies and gentlemen, enough words have been written about cigarettes and smoking pleasure to fill every library from here to Timbuktu. But you'll never hear words that make more sense, words that are more important to you who smoke than the words you're about to hear now. For these words were written by one of America's top-ranking doctors. And here's what the doctor reports.
In cases of irritation of the nose or throat, it is my usual practice with my patients who smoke to suggest that they change to Philip Morris.
And why does the doctor advise this change to Philip Morris? He says...
The reason for this advice is that I am convinced that they are less irritating than other cigarettes.
Remember, if your cigarette leaves your throat dry and parched, if it makes you cough or leaves a stale, musty taste in your mouth, these definitely are reasons for a change to Philip Morris. So join up with the thousands who every day are discovering in Philip Morris a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke. A deeper, richer smoking pleasure than they've ever known before. Yes, call for Philip Morris. And remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
was San Francisco, played by Ray Blatt and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, that was wonderful. You sure know how to get up steam. I wish you were my janitor. But don't pay me no mind, Ray, old sock. I think you got a lot of talent. I really do. I'm looking for it, though. And now, as we continue our salute to California, we present...
California Forum tonight. California Forum tonight. The question... Does a New Yorker have to go to California to feel young again, or can he just wait until Jane Russell comes here?
Very well said, Mr. Gallup. Now, let's start with our questions from the audience. Let's start with this young man in the first row wearing the straw hat with the holes cut out for his ears. Is this the young man? Yes. Will you step up to the microphone, young man, and tell me, what is your name?
My name is S.
Let me understand it. Your name is
S? That's what my father said when he first saw me.
I get it.
You should hear what he named my twin brothers.
What did he name your twin brothers?
Hoo-ha.
Sounds logical.
My father is a man of few words. When he hears this program, he says only one word.
What does he say?
Seth.
All right. You have a clap to act. You have a question that has to do with California?
Yeah, I got questions about California, but they're none of your business.
Well, I just
What's the matter? You're going to California, so goodbye and good riddance.
Now, wait a minute.
I suppose you think the minute you get there, everybody will want to make a movie of that ugly puss of yours.
Look,
I'd like to see before I die another movie with you in it.
Please.
You couldn't get into the movies even if you wanted to be a stand-in for Thunderhead.
I didn't.
You couldn't get into the movies even if you had three heads instead of two.
Please.
I am on his popcorn stand.
Please, let us continue. Let's try and maintain order. Let's hear from the fairer sex now. The fairest. Oh, there they are. All right, this lady in the third row beating her fur coat to death. Young lady, what is your name?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see, and you have a question that concerns itself with California.
Yeah, why is my husband so crazy about them Wild West pictures? He sits through so many of them Western pictures, he's getting saddle sores.
Your husband is a Wild West movie fan?
He even went out and bought himself a horse to ride. You should see the wide hips he's getting.
Your husband?
The horse.
Oh, the horse.
Yeah, he's old, and he's beginning to sag in the middle.
The horse?
My husband.
I understand.
He's always trying to show off. He used to ride bareback.
Why did he stop?
The cops made him put something on.
I see.
He's crazy about them cowboy outfits. You know them chaps they wear? Those pants with the fur in front?
He bought a pair?
He didn't have to. He just let the hair grow wild around his knees.
Sounds practical.
He's always playing cowboys and Indians with the kids in the neighborhood. The other day he come home covered with arrows sticking in him.
He was covered with arrows?
I had to take him to a chicken cleaner and get him plucked.
That's the only way that you could get the arrows out?
Yeah, and for another few cents I had him singed.
Well, he must have been nicely clean.
He looked so good, they hung him up in the winter.
No kidding.
What a time I had getting him out of that chicken store. The women kept squeezing him and asking how much.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Thank you. And now, as a fitting climax of our forum tonight, we are very honored to present a hero of one of California's greatest industries, aviation. He is none other than that famous test pilot, that daring devil-may-care buccaneer of the sky, that powerhouse of courage and strength, Chuck Cannonball Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. I welcome this most glorious and golden opportunity to once again say Roger to my many new aviation fans who have seen me when I was high and my many old friends who knew me when I was sober.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On my way here, I picked a caterpillar off the sidewalk. Mm. I think I strained myself.
Well, Mr. Featherfield, a caterpillar isn't heavy.
This one had just eaten.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield, how did you start in aviation?
I went to a skywriting school. For 2 years, every day we had to go up in the air and ride in smoke. I see the dog. The dog is Rover. Rover is a bow wow.
Did you ever make a mistake?
Only once. Oh, I was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
I hid behind a cloud and spelled out, "Aw, nuts."
Do you always use smoke in skywriting?
Not always. In Pittsburgh, we write with fresh air.
I see. Mr. Featherfield, were you ever forced to make a belly landing?
Just once. Never again.
Why not?
I'm ticklish.
Gosh, Mr. Featherfield, flying is such a romantic profession.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's how I met my wife.
You met your wife through flying?
Yes. Once I went into a dive.
Yes?
And there she was.
Oh, I see. A saloon. And you took her away from all that?
Yes. She always wanted a family. She wanted to have a bouncing boy.
And she got one?
Yes, me. I haven't stopped bouncing since.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. And now here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing But Beautiful.
Love is funny, or it's sad, or it's quiet, or it's mad. It's a good thing, or it's bad, but beautiful. Beautiful to take a chance, and if you fall, you fall. And I'm thinking I wouldn't mind at all. Love is tearful, or it's gay. It's a problem, or it's play. It's a heartache in a way, but beautiful. And I'm thinking, if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be the beautiful I know. And I'm thinking, if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be but beautiful, I know.
Dick, I wish I had learned how to sing. When I went into show business, I was at the awkward age. I really was. Too old for Mother Goose and too young for the Kinsey Report.
Burl, discussing California...
I'm still new. You read about it.
I say, Burl, discussing California...
I can't hear you, Mr. Gallagher.
I say, we're discussing California.
You sounded like Von Zell there for a minute. I didn't...
Never heard of him.
Burl? You will. You'll be with him.
Since we're discussing California...
We're not.
Yes. I insist upon doing it. And, as I say, discussing California...
Did you get the way he ad-libs? They don't make any connection, but they ad-lib. Go ahead.
How come you're not in Hollywood?
Huh? I mean, you wasted all that time just to ask me that question. Yeah, that is a very, very delicate question to ask me, Mr. Gallagher.
Yes.
I really mean that,
yes,
because that's a very soft spot in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it. I mean, motion pictures is one of the big tragedies of my life. Will you listen to my story? Don't laugh, Mr. Gallup. This is a sad story. Yes, it is sad. It was back in 1927, and I was the toast of Broadway, a big success in vaudeville, when I succumbed to Hollywood's tempting lure. I'll never forget one night, I was in my dressing room at the Palace Theater, quietly counting my money. Somehow, it was the only thing that ever relaxed me. And the opening act, George Burns and his talking wife, had just gone on the stage. $1,006,008. $1,006,009. $1,000,000. Yes?
That man insists on seeing you, Mr. Burl.
I told you, Henny, I'm not to be disturbed.
It's that Darryl Zanuck. We've thrown him out 6 times already. He won't leave.
Oh, all right. I'll see him.
Yes, sir. Hey, you. This way.
Mr. Burl, be reasonable. Hollywood needs you. We'll pay you a fortune. You'll be... Mr. Burl, you're not listening.
1,006,010. 1,006,000.
Mr. Burl, if you'll only listen to
1,006,000. Oh, fiddlesticks. Now you made me lose count. I'll have to start all over. One. Two.
But,
three.
Mr. Burl, we have the perfect picture for you. We've caught it, Colbert. It's called It Happened One Night.
It already sounds like a flop.
You'll be a sensation in it. You'll win so many Oscars, they'll start calling the Milton.
Oh, all right. How long can I deprive Hollywood of my talent? Let's go.
On set for the bus scene. Ready, Mr. Burl?
I guess so.
Mr. Burl's ready! Remember, Mr. Burl, you're Steve Madigan, a newspaper man, riding on a bus with a runaway madcap heiress. Burl, this scene will make you.
Obviously.
Let's go.
Lights, camera, roll them.
Oh, Steve, you're wonderful.
Now, get this straight, kid. You don't mean nothing to me, see? You're just a story, a headline story. I rode on a bus coast to coast with a missing heiress by Steve Madigan. You're just copy, see?
Steve.
Take your arms from around my neck. In a week, you'll throw me aside like a used toy. Well, there's some things your papa's money can't buy, see? He can't buy me.
Steve.
Take your lips from the lobe of my ear. With all your money, you kill kid. You can't buy happiness. Look at me. I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm happy. See?
Steve.
Stop pawing me. I wonder where we are. Hey, bus driver. Driver. What town are we coming to?
Schenectady.
Schenectady.
Stop it. Hold it. Stop the picture.
What's the trouble?
Did you hear how that bus driver said Schenectady? What talent?
Mr. Zanuck, I...
Hey, bus driver, you with the big ears.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Clark Gable.
He's a nobody. He just said Schenectady.
What a discovery.
Yeah, but he just said
Schenectady. Throw out the picture.
He just said
Schenectady. We're doing it over with Gable and Burl's Park.
He just said Schenectady.
He's going to be greater than Elmo Lincoln.
He just said Schenectady. Look, Mr. Zanuck.
He's going to be... Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Milton Burl, your star.
Star? Huh? Throw this bum off the lot.
But he just said Schenectady. Yes, Mr. Gallup. Clark Gable stole the picture right from under me. I was a broken man. I wanted to commit suicide. I threw myself from the top of the studio. But I landed on Sydney Green Street. I started all over on the stage, and soon I was the star of the Ziegfeld Follies. Again, Hollywood started pestering me, and I remember I was in my dressing room one night. Come in.
Mr. Burl.
You again. Louis B. Mayer.
Oh, please, please, please don't throw me out. Mr. Burl, you've got to come to Hollywood. We've got just the picture for you. The Burl story.
The Burl story?
Yes.
Hmm. Any bus driver in it?
No.
Doesn't take place in Schenectady, does it?
No.
Well, all right. Let's go.
Quiet on the set. Mr. Burl's ready. Now, Mr. Burl, in this scene, we show the kindness, the humility of Milton Burl.
Nice touch.
You are rich, successful, but you return to the tenement district where you were born. You have haunting memories. Lights, camera, roll 'em.
Home. This then was my home. That these cold, dingy tenements could produce the talent, the charm that is Milton Burl. Ah, ironic fate. But hark, a little girl is before me. She in her rags and pitiful plight is crying. What is the matter, little girl?
I'm lost.
You're lost. Cat, hold it! Out the picture!
Now, wait a
minute. Who is that little girl? She's dynamite!
Look, L.B.
What's your name, girlie?
Margaret O'Brien.
Margaret,
she just said I'm lost.
Shut up! Throw out the picture. We have a new star.
But she just said...
Shut up!
Yeah.
Somebody throw this bum off the lot.
But she just said I'm lost. That's all it's... Well, after that, Mr. Gallup, I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to... Well, I even went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. I even went to Grossinger's and tried to eat myself to death. Again, I was broke. And then a few years ago, I started in radio. I remember one night, just before my broadcast, I was in my dressing room in the broadcasting studio. $1.26. $1.27. $1.20. Oh, no.
Mr. Pearl, you must come to Hollywood.
The Warner Brothers again. I said no.
But, Mr. Burl, this picture will make you.
It's called Burl of the Yukon. I said... Burl of the Yukon?
What do you say?
Wait a minute. Has it got a bus driver in it?
No.
The Yukon isn't near Schenectady, is it?
Miles away.
You don't happen to have a little kid in it, do you?
No, it's just you. Oh. You're all alone. Lost in the Yukon. Just you and the snow.
Snow?
Yeah.
What color is the snow? It's not too fancy or anything.
Just plain snow.
Well, here goes again. Let's go.
Ready for you, Mr. Burl. Remember, you're lost in a blizzard.
All right, let's go.
Light, camera, wrong.
Alone, all alone, lost in a world of snow. Is this then the fate of Milton Berle, to die unsung, unheralded in a Yukon waste? Help! Help! Hark, can that be help on its way?
Ow, ow, ow! Why, it's a cat! Who's that dog? She's terrific!
Oh, no!
That dog, what a bark!
Her name's Lassie.
Please.
We're changing the picture. Lassie is lost and someone else comes to her rescue.
I'll do it. Let me play the part. Listen.
Run, 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 run.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime...
Remember this. There's a difference in Philip Morris, an advantage that distinguishes it from any other leading brand. And to you, that difference means a cleaner smoke, a fresher, milder smoke, from your first Philip Morris in the morning to your last one at night. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and this is your girlfriend, Milton, saying good night. See you next Tuesday. Good night.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.